Tune into 102.5 The Game this Saturday at 11 a.m. for our college football game of the week. It's that time of year, guys. Is this week zero? Iowa State versus Kansas State, presented by Twin Peaks Restaurants and Circa Sportsbook. Take your tailgate to Twin Peaks, home of 29-degree drafts and wall-to-wall sports. Speaking of Circa Sportsbook, that is where we are today, the brand-new Circa Sportsbook at the Mint Gaming Hall in Franklin, Kentucky. And joining us, Jensen Lewis, host of By the Books on VSiN, former Vanderbilt and Major League pitcher. Thank you for letting us into your home today, Jensen.
pretty neat stuff, right? First broadcast today, just kind of christened it here, ribbon-cutting ceremony as well. Our CEO for Circa, Derek Stevens, VP of Ops, Mike Palm here, a host of great people from the Circa family, and then, of course, all of our people putting everything together here. I was asking Alex Bowers, our chief engineer, I'm like, okay, from the time you got in here to put everything together, he's like, yeah, we were here in July, and then everything has really gone warp speed from there. So we are the first East Coast Midwest base home for VSiN, and would say aggressive expansion is the great way to put it with our first stop here closer to the eastern seaboard.
Now, was there a pair of giant novelty scissors for this ribbon cutting?
I'm sure they did. Yeah, we got done at 9. We talked to a few of the dignitaries here, and then, with how early it is, my co-host Dave Ross moving from Las Vegas to be here every single day in studio. Imagine getting up at, 2:30 in the morning and then the commute into the studio, because it would be 4 to 7 local time out in Vegas. Fortunately for me, back in Cleveland, it's still 7 to 10 Eastern, so it's a normal life for me, and I think that was the most exciting thing for him was, hey, I get to kind of come back and be a normal human being and then also be able to open this brand-new property.
So you're a sports betting analyst, so let me ask you this question, because we've talked about this a little bit. The opening line, or at least the line I saw most recently on week one, Titans at Broncos, is Broncos -8,
yeah,
which is a huge line, and I know that the Titans were the worst team in the league. Our listeners don't need to be reminded of that, but I will anyway. The Broncos have an outstanding home field advantage. They have a really good defense. Number one overall pick quarterbacks tend to lose their debuts, except for Caleb Williams last year, against the Titans. All of those things put together. Would you put money on Broncos -8 against the Titans in week one?
So what was great is you guys were my soundtrack driving in when I flew in on Monday. So, Willie and I go back a long time. So I was listening to Derek and, just thinking about, as athletes, like, you're looking for, all right, if our leaders are young, great. If they show that they're kind of wise beyond their years, awesome. I think that's the one thing I take away from the outside looking in is, everything has been buttoned up. Everything has been professional. Now, does that translate when you get to Mile High against one of the best defenses year over year? Derek, you can probably speak to this even better. Week one is the scariest week for us as far as sports bettors.
It's got to be, right?
The NFL is so unique of the carryover. You could say it's on paper, but it may not be. And for us, looking at the numbers and saying, all right, well, you got a guy who is pretty dynamic in college. Does he have the weaponry, that will be the equivalent here with the Titans? I think that remains to be seen. And week one, what is Sean Payton and company going to throw at him that he has yet to see? So I think that's the fun part of it. But to answer your question, I don't think I want to go anywhere near laying 8 against a guy that you have very limited film from preseason and then trying to understand having to deal with the dual threat dynamic that he's got.
And that was my whole thing with when Adam brought up the 8-point line. I'm thinking, do they not understand that the first game of the season is like one of those games? You may end up being the better team.
Yeah.
But the first game of the season, you don't know that.
Right.
And there are a lot of things that you are still trying to work through. That other team that you may be better than, they may just have the perfect game plan for you. Mm-hmm. And your guys haven't sort of haven't gotten the speed. And plus, they don't know your tendencies as an offense. So that's your superpower against them. They don't know the tendencies.
What's fascinating, too, and D-Mace, I think I really enjoy seeing some of the X's and O's of – okay, year over year, right? Mm-hmm. That defense towards the end of last year and really overall in Denver was outstanding,
yes.
Okay? And now when you are transitioning from the hunters to being the hunted, there's been a lot of praise, a lot of hype around, oh, Denver's finally going to be that challenge to Kansas City, you know, the Chargers as well. It's going to be a loaded division. Pete Carroll now with the Raiders. It's going to be very competitive. But again, you still got to be able to come out and show it early. And that's, I think, we talk about a lot with the Circus Survivor contest is, okay, that's going to be a really – it's not the most popular selection.
No question.
Oh, of course.
Just because of the history of rookie quarterbacks in week one. Okay, so if people blindly do that, okay. But are you, is Cam Ward the guy that you want to look up and wake up on Monday morning and be like, that guy beat me? And, I mean, the capabilities of what he's got, and potentially if you keep that game close in the fourth quarter, I think you've seen enough and you've been on the field enough to be like, anything's possible, especially when it gets really tight, really
late. And it's not like Denver is a, you know, offensive juggernaut.
Right?
Yeah, and it's
yeah.
not like they're scoring 30 points a game like the Chiefs or the Cincinnati Bengals. This is a team that struggles at scoring as well.
Yeah.
But because they got an awesome defense, they can win those close games. Again, when I look at this game in the point spread, I'm sure as they start to get closer to the season, it may shrink a point, maybe – 0.2, but the superpower that Brian Callahan has is you don't have the tape on my quarterback like I have on your quarterback.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's their superpower.
It is ironic because I look back, Marcus Mariota's first game was against Jameis Winston.
Right.
Levis' first game.
Will Levis' first game was not opening day, but it was a four-touchdown
exactly.
pass. He looked like he was met. So you never know how the first game's going to go.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's also, too, you remember last year, Bengals were, what, 8-9 point favorites mm-hmm. against the Patriots. Patriots went outright and, you know, all hell breaks loose.
And you're out of your survivor pool,
yeah,
right?
You're in your survivor pool. Thanks a lot. And we're going to have to wait for next year. So, But I think overall, guys, I think just listen to you and kind of from our perspective, too, you look at the South, pretty wide open. You know, if you think that Houston is just going to roll up and be like, all right, we're going to take this division, I think there's another thing coming. Is Jacksonville going to be improved with Liam Cohen? We would believe that just on his track record, but I think some questions to be answered there too from a defensive standpoint. The Colts, I'm with you, D-Mace. I'm thinking like this is a huge indictment on that front office from the Anthony Richardson angle. But again, also a change in philosophy maybe from what the late Jim Irsay would have done versus now the Dodgers run it differently. They think differently. Is this win now urgency? You pay a guy $14 million to come in, probably not to hold a clipboard and put on a ball cap. So anxious to see kind of what that is. I think it's a highly emotional game at Lucas Oil there, but I'm anxious to kind of see, you know, where this division ultimately plays out.
And that's in exactly what you said, because we look at Houston, and Houston is probably the most complete team within the conference. I think they more than likely has the better coach. Better quarterback, defense is better throughout. But they still have their problems on the offensive line.
Sure.
Can they protect their quarterback? So, and that is a huge thing because he did take a step back last year, one, because he had injuries on the offensive side of the ball at his skill positions. But then, two, the offensive line wasn't as good as what they thought it was. Indianapolis, like I say, yes, that's just an indictment. Everybody needs to be fired, especially if this season doesn't go right. That's an indictment when you bench your guy after not even really 15 games. You benched him after 2.5 seasons where he spent most of it hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look at Jacksonville. Jacksonville is probably the one team, as they have been every year, where they have something, but you don't know if they can put it together.
Right.
The quarterback and head coach has to match, and it hasn't matched the last two times.
Yeah.
And they're hoping that he and Liam Cohen can be that match made in heaven, mm-hmm. in football heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And then they can go from there. Because if they don't, they're going to be back in the same situation they were in last season and season before that. So, to me, the Titans are sitting – they're in a bad situation because of their roster, but they're not that far from taking over – the second spot, and really, maybe in another year, that first spot may be in view because of the conference.
The Mace is full of hope.
Yeah,
full
of hope.
Everybody's 0-0. Jensen, I'm curious. We were talking about Jacksonville. I don't know if you guys do a lot of, I'm sure you do, but prop bet kind of things with Travis Hunter. We're so curious about how much he's going to be able to play on both sides of the ball. Like, what are your thoughts on how you think that's going to go? I think we have collective skepticism of just if his body can hold up mentally and physically. But What kind of action are we looking at there? Because they want him to be the star on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, and I think the early reports of Liam Cohen saying the offense is going to go through Brian Thomas Jr. kind of gives you an idea of what they want to do from Trevor Lawrence. And off the top of my head, I think I remember Travis Hunter's receiving prop right around 750 and a half yards receiving. If I were to make a best bet on any of his props, that's probably where I would go as the over on that. Because I do feel that they're going to want to involve that dynamic and also allow Brian Thomas Jr. to have as much one-on-one coverage instead of people saying, we're taking him away, we're going to force you to beat you the other way. So the receiving touchdowns right around 4.5. I just don't know if that's the guy you trust enough in the red zone. Unless he breaks off a couple of big ones here, then I wouldn't want to be so scoring dependent as far as that goes. I would think the volume of how often they would want to get him the ball on offense makes more sense. Receptions, all that, I'll throw that out the way because I just believe that his speed, I would rather err on the side of I'll take the athleticism there and knowing that he can break it at any moment. But I'm with you, too, that how much he has to do on the defensive side. And let's get to week 7. Let's get to week 8. Let's see what the odometer looks like from actual plays on both sides and then see how they adjust from there.
Jensen Lewis is with us. He is a former Vanderbilt baseball pitcher, and I do want to go down memory lane for a minute before we let you go. And also, in our next segment, we've got another Commodore, Tyler Kepner, who writes for The Athletic. We're going to ask him about Major League Baseball in Nashville someday because somebody every year – and it's the commissioner half the time saying, oh, yeah, we want to go to Nashville. But we still don't know how that's going to work. We got a couple $1 billion we got to get. We got a stadium we got to build, all that. But just looking back, one of the things that Rob Manfred said in Bristol when they had that game between the Braves and the Reds to Tyler Kepner was, hey, he cited the Vanderbilt baseball program and the Tennessee baseball program as to the growth of the game in this area.
Agreed.
You played on the first really good team that Tim Corbin had. It was just his second year. You were part of that foundation. But looking back, like thinking about the 2004 team with yourself and some other really good players and where it's gone from there, it's got to be amazing now. Almost a generation has gone by. It's so crazy how the time has flown.
You look at the renovations too now underway for Hawkins Field, and I mean, you were back in the days of the chain link fence.
That's right. And the warning hill and barbed wire on top of the fence.
I remember our locker room, we had to move out during football season with fall practice because that was also the visiting halftime locker room. And so, how far we've come here to become the preeminent program in college baseball. I think what's unique is that we're in such a beautiful portion of the college baseball scene where, as you guys see week in and week out, there is a pretty large gap between what the SEC can roll out there. The ACC has been better. The Big Ten's still a long way to go. I mean, Power Four is what it is, but it's far and away the SEC. Now, this year, the regionals did not go the SEC's way. And I know that I took a lot of heat for the number one overall seed not being able to get to the regional final, let alone be able to get out of their own bracket. All that being said, as far as the Nashville scene goes, all this predicated on the CBA negotiations turning in a better direction, because everything
it's ominous right now.
It is very tense already, and that does not make me feel good, having been a player rep and knowing how these things escalate. And I don't know why we can't figure it out. NHL can do it, no problem, no pomp and circumstance. NBA gets it done. They should take a page out of that book. The MLB side should. I think it's a matter of time, guys. Where there's a will, there's a way. I mean, we went down with Derek and Mike and Dave, all of us, the traveling party. We went down to Kid Rock's place, the Detroit Cowboy last night. And I remember coming here like 8 or 9 years ago for New Year's Eve. And I was blown away at campus, let alone what downtown looks like. We went down there last night and I'm like, what is all of this? Like, this is wild.
It keeps growing.
It is amazing how much has exploded, but I just think the pocket you're in for not only the collegiate scene, but also you guys have seen it plenty here probably in the recent years, is that people want to be here. People buy into their sports here, and that's what MLB is looking for. They don't want another Tampa situation. Vegas is going to have, their issues, but I think otherwise – the Athletics are going to be fine there. They're going to be great when they open it up.
All right, quick 30-second answer from where you sit. You're still based in Cleveland, right? The Diego Pavia effect from where you sit.
I love it.
By the way, over under Vanderbilt wins 4.5. What are you taking?
Well, I have to be real here.
Not with your heart.
Yes, I will separate my heart. The under is the play, but I mean, that's what we said, too, when an Alabama Crimson Tide team came in and they found out.
Where were you when that game was going on?
I was watching it. I couldn't believe it. My phone was, like, blowing up. Like, what did I miss? Yeah, there we go.
Jensen Lewis, host of By the Books on VSiN, former Vanderbilt and Major League pitcher, joining us here on D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick. Jensen, thank you so much for being here, your hospitality. We look forward to chatting with you again in the future.
Likewise. Thanks, fellas. Appreciate it.
Yep.
615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Coming up next, Tyler Kepner, the Athletics MLB senior writer, will join us. Major League Baseball's flirtation with Nashville continues. Tyler Kepner spoke to Commissioner Rob Manfred about it. We will discuss that and more with Tyler Kepner. Coming up next, 615-737-1025. Let me tell you about Nashville's best deal of the week. It's Bavarian Beer House, conveniently located at Opry Mills Mall. Enjoy beer, food, music, and fun at Nashville's only authentic German beer hall, where it's Oktoberfest every day. Head to thegamenashville.com/deals now to get a $50 gift card for only $25 to Bavarian Beer House while supplies last.